Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Christopher Fritchie. And thank you, gentlemen of the band. Our topic this week is faith. So I think I have to tell a story that illustrates it. Once upon a time, during a very severe drought, all the town's citizens decided to pray for rain. On the day agreed upon, all the people gathered in an open field to pray, and then they noticed that only one boy had brought along with him an umbrella. We can have the offering now. Our teaching, The Science of Mind, is a practical spirituality, and it invites us to imagine a better life and then do the inner work that we need to do so that we expect good to show up. Life itself grows and evolves and changes and expands, and so too can we expect to grow and change and develop and expand. And for me, that means things can get better. No matter if things are going very well, they can get better. And no matter how bad things are, they can get better. They can evolve. They can change and expand for the good. And our teaching helps us to get to that place where once we have imagined a better something, we've seen it in our head, and then we've felt it in our heart, and we've accepted it in our body, we so thoroughly expect things to get better that we pack an umbrella and take it with us. Paul of Tarsus, the apostle, said, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for." Well, to me, that means it's so real to me that I feel its substance. I may not have it yet, but it's so real to me, it's like I do have it. And if I don't have it, whatever it is yet, I have a great expectation that I will. I'm expecting rain. Think of a belief as a head trip and faith as a heart trip. When I believe in this or that, it's different from when I have faith in it. Because when I have faith in it, it's moved from my head into my heart. And over here, heart is a symbol for my entire essential being. It means what's that beautiful word in our teaching? Embody it. I become it. Now, the Bible in Proverbs 23:7 expresses it like this: "As a person thinks in their heart, so they are." Not just the thoughts in their head, the thought of their heart. In other words, the inner thought of your entire system, that's you, the stuff of your being, that which you accept inside of you, that which you have faith in, and then that faith draws you to it and it to you. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, said, "There is nothing we couldn't do if we took the time to develop the faith to have it happen." In other words, don't just think about it more. Feel it. Move it into your entire being. Embody it. Identify with it. expect it. In my early studies of science of mind, sometimes I wanted to have faith because I wanted certain things to happen. And sometimes that thing that I wanted to have happen wasn't mine to have happen. And I realized in my studies that really wasn't faith. That was more like mind control. And sometimes when I was in trouble in the early days of my study, I wanted instant faith. Because something big was happening in my life and I needed it fixed. Then I noticed that in those moments, actually what was happening, my heart was more loyal to the trouble than it was to the greater good that I was hoping for. And then I studied and I became a spiritual coach. You know, we call them practitioners, like you saw Jan doing the prayer this morning. I became a practitioner myself to coach other people who too came to me wanting instant faith. I understood. I had been there. I guess it's possible sometimes to make the switch into instant faith. But what I learned in the journey is that it's a good idea to start developing faith now. Start now. Start by thinking uplifting, powerful, hopeful, beautiful, helpful thoughts and get familiar with them and feel them until they take up such residence in your heart that they overtake. In other words, allow yourself to practice having great expectations of good happening. Perhaps that's what faith is. An unreasonable, great expectation of good happening. It is a way we can grow in faith, you know, by making a commitment to that, to live as if life were good before we have the evidence that it is so. You know, it takes great strength in this world to step out and say, I believe that life is good, not random. Oh, that's faith. You know, we see the world suffering, but we still help. That's faith. Everywhere we look, life is unfair. We still care about each other and ones we don't know, and we still love our children. That's faith. Maybe faith is about developing what some people call knowing. You know, a positive sense that good wants to happen. Like a sixth sense that is tuned into the love we've been talking about this month, the love of the divine that is all around us, and then expecting it to show up despite all proof of the opposite. Maybe faith is something you and I have to work out for ourselves, you know, and we can do that by asking, what do I have faith in? Or what am I going to risk having faith in? You know, because faith, like trust, it's got its own timing. You know, because you and I, we could end up looking like a fool standing in that field carrying an umbrella while the sun is shining and everyone's left. And that's when I learned in science of mind, in moments like that, stand there with dignity. Stand there. Be a fool for God. And hold everything lightly. Everything in its own time. In God's time. One of my favorite authors, Chris Ben-Gui. Did you ever hear that old saying, love is blind? It should really be that love is faith. Because love cannot be proven. It is the commitment to believe in someone even though you have absolutely no assurances that they will love you back in the way they promised to. In the end, love is all about trust and a leap of faith. And without leaping, it's impossible to fall in love with a person, with the world, with God, with life. You know, faith is not something we use to control the world and outcomes, you know, to assure that things will go our way. Faith is something we have. A sixth sense. It's that thing in us that moves us out onto the skinny branches. Have you had that experience of being nudged out into the skinny branches part of life? In Science of Mind classes, I learned at those skinny branch moments to ask myself, is this a head trip? Or does my heart tell me to do this? And I learned in those skinny branch moments to stop, breathe, and to ask, is this faith moving me? Or is it willpower? One of my teachers said, you know, if you don't have the faith, it may not be time for you to step out onto the skinny branch. Because, you know, sometimes my head was saying, step out. The faith will come later. When my heart was whispering, stand still. And then there were other times when my heart was whispering, it's skinny branch time. And my head shouting, no, no, no. So as I learned in classes to listen to my heart and to follow its gentle, kind wisdom, and that's the key. Follow its gentle, kind wisdom, then the skinny branches would become strong beneath me as I stepped on them. And then in some cases they broke and I fell. And when I did, I became stronger because of it. Here's another way to look at it. We all have faith already. It's built in, like batteries included. It's just that sometimes we can have faith in what we don't want. It's still faith. It still works the same way. It connects us and draws us to the object of our adoration. Maybe you know what it's like to once have had faith and then lose it. If you have, then you know it's like your breath goes away. You know, like I've told this story, like when we bought this building, when it was a roller rink before. And I remember one day standing outside of it and the building funds had run dry. And city permits weren't coming through. And construction came to a halt and we couldn't pay workers. And I remember standing outside there and looking and saying to myself, what have I done? This is bigger than I have the ability to grow into. This is too much of a stretch. And even my heart seemed to have lost courage in that moment. Fortunately for me, there were people around me who hadn't lost their faith. They could see clearly through the rubble into the vision. They accepted the facts for what they were, and still they were looking up, through and up with expectation of a greater yet to be. And I mention that because it brings me to the answer of the question, how do you get faith when you don't have it? We borrow it from each other. That's how. Osmosis. Yeah. That's one of the benefits of having spiritual community. When one of us is down, another one of us is up. That's it. You know how I know when I'm having a crisis in faith? When I argue for my limitations. When I clearly see the worst possible outcome. And when my voice gets all tiny and thin and whiny sometimes, then what I ought to have is a red alert, red alert. Edward, go hang out with the faithful. You know, the ones who will tell me something like, you know better than this. It's fine. Go ahead. Panic. Look, I can't give you the guarantee you want, but I can encourage you to stand there. Stand strong. Because something wonderful is happening through you right now. It is this thing called life. And when I can't believe, I can let somebody believe for me. And through the shared life that we have, through the one mind, I can let them believe for me until I can believe for myself again. Another way to get faith is to earn it. You earn it by choosing to do the work that grows it. How? Well, the beautiful teacher Emma Curtis Hopkins says this. Your conversations with yourself will build or destroy your faith. Your conversations with yourself. In other words, your inner conversations will build or destroy your faith. So there's the question. Do you allow yourself in your conversations inwardly to feed on the truth? To earn faith, you and I have to have, according to her, the right kinds of conversations inside a lot more of the time than I am doing currently. A majority of the time. Most of the time. More of the time. See, thought forms are always going through our heads, but we are the ones who get to choose which ones we will follow and nurture. Oh, we're a work in progress. And faith is like a muscle. We have to use it, condition it, practice it, stick with it in good times. And in not so good times. Look, in good times it's easy. So the takeaway for me is this. Don't wait for something to happen to start training your thinking. Start now. Keep at it every day. Don't wait for things to get better before you have a brighter outlook. Start now to be bright, even though you have no reason to do so. Don't wait for people to show up before you stop feeling lonely. Start now to fall in love with whomever is around you. Don't wait for the world to shape up before you show up. Don't wait for things to line up before you decide how you want to be. You know, don't wait for an election. We need each other's best self now. You know, do you know that someone near you needs whatever faith you do have? So start. Start to work with thought forms in your head, for example. Start to ask yourself, do the thought forms that are flowing through my head support the kind of world I want to co-create? And if they don't, that's not a call to self-criticism. but to do gentle self-inquiry, self-examination, to become more aware of what's going on in there. So I start to become aware, especially of the repeated thought forms, because they are likely to be the ones that need your help the most. Especially negatively focused repeated thought forms. And rather than going along with putting I am in front of every negative statement you can, use instead the phrase I feel to explore what is behind your thinking and sit with those feelings. I feel judgmental. I feel wounded. I feel angry. I feel sad. And then validate those feelings and let them be all right. Allow them to stand just the way that they are and just the way that they are not. And then at the same time, bring gently into your mind something else that perhaps you have faith in already. The paradoxical truth of your being. It goes like this, something. I feel sad. And I am made in the image and likeness of a perfect power. I feel hopeless about the world. And there is something within me that knows the truth and is connected to it. I feel judgmental. And at the same time, I embrace unity through diversity and I'm working it out. I feel angry at society. And I am confident in my ability to transcend it through love. I feel confused, and there is a spirit of wisdom and clarity within me, and I'm accessing it now. And every day, as I work this way, I create an atmosphere of love and peace and healing within my heart, and I'm peaceful in my heart, and I'm filled with the love of the universal creative power, the living spirit, God, and it's flowing through me. And it causes me to be at peace with everyone around me. And I'm growing spiritually every day. And my strength comes from my willingness to accept and to forgive and to love. And I'm free to be myself. And I'm aware of the beauty and worth of my soul. I'm worthy of life. And I sense that worth and beauty in others. And I feel my connection to all life. And I accept life. Just as it is, while at the same time I am embracing every day a greater yet to be. And through the inspiration of the infinite that dwells within me, I move deeply into kindness, connection, compassion. And so it is that I have a calm and abiding trust in the goodness of spirit. And life is able to use me as an instrument of peace. And my thoughts sow seeds of love, and my actions bring harmony, and my life inspires faith, and my trust in spirit deepens. Well, you know the routine. If you want those words to practice on, you come say hello to me. And I will give them to you. But for now, let us take a moment to breathe in deeply like this. And to exhale, letting your eyes close. For a moment of contemplation. And let us each in our own way recognize the divine. Knowing that whatever name we use, that the divine, the ultimate, the supreme one, is beyond any name or category or quality. Which is why I consider words like infinite, eternal, immortal, everywhere present, all-knowing. And I use these words to help expand my acceptance of a divine one that is everywhere present, even where I am, even where you are. And such is the love of the divine that we are created in absolute freedom. This is my heritage and yours. And so today, by means of this prayer, I am reestablishing myself, and I invite you to do the same, in the awareness that I have the freedom to love, to create, and to help. And that as I expand my conscious awareness of the presence within me, that things change. My awareness opens up. And I see life more clearly for what it is. An opportunity for me to move through it lovingly. Today, through this prayer, I plant a seed of great expectation of good in me. And I agree to have no argument with how other people wish to embrace their version of God. I celebrate that this moment of aligning myself with the divine has healthful, beneficial, uplifting impact on all those who enter my thought atmosphere. I abandon trying to control outcomes when I'm using prayer. And instead, I align myself with a good that is greater than anything I can think up. Not just for me, but for all sentient beings. And then having done so in prayer, I let myself be guided from within to take whatever steps allow me to fulfill this prayer. This is according to how we have been taught to pray believing, to ask accepting, to trust in the good pleasure of the Divine One to deliver to us the content of our prayer. I'm being mindful to remember also to give thanks in advance. Not that it is necessary to do so, but because a grateful heart is a generous heart and one that is in contact with the spirit of all being. I'm being mindful too to hold this prayer lightly, to let it be. To remember that it comes to pass not through any act of willpower of mine, not through any concentrating, not through any holding on to images, but through the movement of spiritual law that is sometimes called the Holy Spirit. And so as I come to the conclusion of this prayer then, I breathe again. And say quietly, and so it is. Once more, a deep breath in, followed by a sigh. We use that breath to make a transition to the part of our service where we share, support our center. I thank you in advance for supporting our center, for being here so loyally. I love the first service, you know. You're so regular and so dependable. It causes one to have courage, you know, the way we support each other in our center. I often wonder what I might have become in life had I not discovered Science of Mind. You know? Who knows? But I can say I'm filled with gratitude. And so when we support our center now, and you know I do too, 10% of my salary goes straight back to the center. And I do it because I'm thinking of future generations. I'm thinking of people who 50 years from now might be standing here on a similar platform saying, I don't know what might have become of my life had I not had a center to sit in. So won't you please take your gift in your hand? Or if you gave electronically, you can place your hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to the giving and say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.